So continuing our exploration of where these bounces come from and why do they go away, we're starting something of a photo album of campaign snapshots. I mentioned it just a moment ago. We're calling it Eyes on the Ground, 52 days from Election Day. We'd love your snapshot stories. How did you make up your mind? The story of political movement from one place or another, tell it to us. It's how democracy works. Some of the best eyes on the ground for us are in the head of our good friend Anna Sale, politics reporter for WNYC's politics site, It's a Free Country. She's spoken with voters in the major swing states of Iowa, Colorado, Wisconsin, Florida, and Ohio over the last several weeks. And Anna, bounces come from people finding clarity about what they're going to do on Election Day. And you have some stories for us about some of the people you've met. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks so much. Yeah, I looked at the polls and I was at the conventions and all the talk about what people's reactions were to all the speeches and wanted to see actually what some of the voters I'd met over the last several weeks over the summer, what they were thinking about it. Turns out not many of them were watching the conventions, as we had assumed. Many of them just caught snippets of the speeches. There wasn't a lot of movement when I talked to folks this week. It was more that the ways they were leaning over the summer is now crystallizing and hardening.
You know, what you're describing is that people have inside of them, particularly the likely voters, they have a kind of internal clock, which sort of is ticking. And as time goes on and we get closer to the election, they start to clarify positions that are bouncing around inside of them already. What's your first story? Where was this voter when you first encountered them? And tell the story of where they are now.
Oh, I want to tell you about a Pentecostal minister I met in Tampa named Tom Atchison. It's a really interesting story. He's been a lifelong Republican. When I met him in early August, it was at his soup kitchen that he runs. And he told me that for the first time he was considering voting for a Democrat, voting for President Obama, because of his concerns about program cuts for programs for the homeless. When I talked to him this week, he said, actually, you know, he's really concerned about Mitt Romney and his record at Bain, that a lot of the negative ads, he usually doesn't believe them, but they've really started to kind of make him doubt Mitt Romney. And it's Mitt Romney's wealth and his feeling that maybe he doesn't understand the problems of folks that he works with. So take a listen to this. This is what I asked him about, you know, how firmly he feels like he is on voting for Obama.
You know, I've just been a Republican so much all my life, it's hard for me to go that direction because of the other issues that the Democratic Party, you know, kind of stands more for. I'm not for abortion and some of those issues that it seems like the Republicans stand firmer, you know, for. But I am siding, I got to say, I'm siding more towards voting for Obama, mainly because I just don't trust Romney at all. And at least with Obama, it appears that he is trying to do, you know, what he's doing. It seems to be going the right direction.
That is fascinating. So the Bain thing, the wealth piece of Mitt Romney's identity is really trumping these other very traditional motivators for evangelical voters. You know, we're going to see some of those same dynamics in Virginia a little later in this hour. But how surprised were you by that, Anna?
I really fascinating. And what I thought was interesting was early August, it was all about thinking about policy and maybe talking about President Obama, maybe a vote, but no mention of Romney. Now he's very much voting against Mitt Romney as he's considering voting for President Obama.
All right, so next up.
Well, I want to also tell you about a voter named Dick Henson. I met him in the Denver suburbs early over the summer, and he was one of the wild card voters from 2008. He's a moderate Republican, but supported President Barack Obama in 2008 because he was turned off by Sarah Palin. He's voted for Ronald Reagan, he'd voted for Bill Clinton, and he liked John McCain, but could not support the Republican ticket 4 years ago. So I called him back to see what he thought about Paul Ryan, and this is what he said.
I think Paul Ryan is a very smart man. I think he's got some good ideas, but I still don't. I don't think that he is going to implement those ideas without the approval of Mitt Romney, and I don't think Mitt is on board with all of the things that Paul Ryan has recommended.
So Ryan leads the way for that voter.
Exactly. Well, or you kind of hear him saying, "I think Mitt Romney can contain Paul Ryan's conservatism. He's a moderate Republican there, but Paul Ryan is not a deal breaker for him in the same way that the VP pick was 4 years ago on the Republican side."
Quickly tell us the last voter story before we go.
One more voter I just want to mention, a guy named Steve Martinez I met in Pueblo, Colorado. When I spoke to him in July, he just said, "I'm not voting. I could never vote for a Republican, but President Obama just has not delivered what he promised when I voted for him 4 years ago." It sounded like it was sort of, you know, he just considered it when I was talking to him on the side of the road in Pueblo. But I called him back, and he said, sure enough, People are knocking on my door, giving me calls, and I'm telling them I'm not voting this year. I'm sitting it out.
People finding clarity as they make up their mind who to vote for. Anna Sale, politics reporter for WNYC's politics site, It's a Free Country. We'd love to know your story. Tell us. Eyes on the ground. VR's at 877-8-MY-TAKE. It's The Takeaway.